I told my wife I was going to do what Philip said. I'm going to treat her as a guest. She's moving in the guest room tonight. Just kidding. All right, this session is the last one, and it will be a short one because it's a tough one. It deals with a very touchy subject. Yet it is a subject that has destroyed marriages. And if it is a subject that is affecting marriages, it is then important enough to talk about it. The subject is the marriage bed, or sex in marriage. I don't know how I ended up with this one, but this will be our first R-rated cassette tape in the library. It will not be available to just anybody. People will need the consent of their spouse in order to check this tape out. Okay, the Bible talks about four specific purposes for human sexual activities. What are they? Number one is procreation. Number two is recreation. Number three is communication. Number four is release. Those four purposes for human sexual activity. Purpose number one, procreation. Now, sexual activity is part of God's design for the reproduction of human race. Now, in Genesis 1:28, God said to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth. Again, procreation is not the purpose for marriage. We saw it earlier that the purpose for marriage is companionship and completeness. Now, procreation is the purpose for human sexual activity. In Deuteronomy 7:13-14, when the children of God were entering Canaan, then Moses gave to the people God's promise. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb. And Psalm 127, verse 3 says, children are an inheritance from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is God's reward. So God blesses sex for the purpose of procreation. But that's not all. The other two purposes we can combine together, recreation and release. In the Song of Solomon, I don't know how often you read this, but in the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 10 says, how much better than wine is your love? And the word there is the actual act of love. Paul said to Timothy that have a little wine for your stomach is good for you. And Solomon says sex is even better than a little wine. Now, in the Bible, a symbol for sex is water, fountains, springs. I don't personally see the connection, but they use for sex the symbol of water, fountains, and spring. Now you can turn with me to Proverbs chapter 5, and we're going to see one of those symbols used right there. In verse 18 of chapter 5, it says, let your fountain be blessed, or happy. So now if you would change the symbol of fountain, let your sex be happy. And rejoice with the wife of your youth. As a loving deer and a graceful doe, let her breast satisfy you at all times. And always be intoxicated with her love. So here it encourages the husband and a wife to come to their bed and experience sexual pleasure. So now you have more than just procreation. You have recreation and release. Let her satisfy you at all times. Another purpose is communication. As we saw today, Genesis 2:24 speaks of becoming one flesh. This means a blending of not only the spirit and the soul, but also of the body. The intent of communication is to unite. So, sex is used as a form of communication to unite the body of two into one. So, another purpose for sex is communication, to unite, to blend two persons into one. So, sex provides a means of presenting your spouse the gift of yourself. You are giving yourself to your spouse and you are experiencing the same gift. He or she is also presenting you the gift of themselves. Now, what does the Bible have to say about sex in marriage? Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. First Corinthians 7 gives you the principles for married life. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. That is basic. That is even prior to marriage. A man, a Christian man, should not touch a woman. Nevertheless, doesn't stop there. You are not stuck for the rest of your life as a Christian man, unable to touch a woman. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. So because of temptation of sin, let every man have his own wife. One wife, his own. And the same thing, let every woman also have her own husband. One husband, her own. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. Affection is conjugal debt, conjugal duty. The wife owes that to her husband, and the husband owes that to his wife. It is a debt that we have to each other. And you have to render to the wife her due, and the wife is to render to her husband. It's a debt that we have to each other. They are to give each other their conjugal rights or obligations. See, you have to meet your mate's needs. We said earlier, the purpose of marriage is not to get, but the purpose of marriage is to give, to meet the other person's needs. Not only on a spiritual level or on a physical level, but also on a sexual level. God is the same. He does not change. The pattern that He has for His marriage to us is the same as the pattern or the marriage that we have here on earth. The way that He deals with one issue, one subject, is the same. God is the same. So, we are to meet our mate's sexual needs. Now, submission may be necessary. We are to submit to one another in love. We have to remember that the needs must be met. There are needs, they exist, they are there, and they must be met. Now, making love is more than the actual intercourse. It is an all-day affair. Don't get carried away now. Doesn't mean you have to go at it all day long. It is an all-day affair because the entire day will affect the intercourse itself. Everything that is happening during the course of the day affects this moment. So making love involves talking through the day, touching through the day, calling on the phone, having a relationship. If you've been yelling at each other all day long, "Ah, shut up, don't bother me, you stupid idiot," it will be pretty hard then to go to bed and make love. That's why I said it is an all-day affair. How we treat each other all day long is important, because you cannot, it is not only sexual, because it starts in the mind. And you cannot just click from a "shut up" to "I love you." Hollywood can, but it's not real. So we have to be careful how we treat one another throughout the day. Very, very important. People don't realize. They think that if they just say, "Oh, let's go to bed," after all those things, it's there. So it is an all-day long, it is an all-day affair, and it is very important how we will treat one another. And so, be considerate of one another, how you render to your wife the affection that is due to her, and likewise, you husband, render to the wife. Verse 4, the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Did you know that? And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Her person belongs to her husband, and his belongs to his wife. Neither one of them has the authority to refuse the other one. Look where God has given the control. He has given the control where the needs are. So the one who has the need has the control, because she belongs to him, he belongs to her. The control is in the hands of the one who has the needs. The wife's right to her body is given to the husband, and the husband's right to her, to his body is given to her, to his wife. Amazing how God did that. He's so smart. And then, do not deprive one another except with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. So what you owe to each other, never refuse to pay, unless by mutual consent. And even that, let it be just for a short time, not something unreasonable. It's got to be fair time. It's got to be not too long. Why? Because Satan will take advantage of your abstinence. And he will tempt either party or both while they are separated. Anything goes with him. He hates us. He is a destroyer. He's watching us. He is seeking anything that can hurt your marriage. Any which way to destroy your marriage is okay with him. So if you are depriving one another, he will tempt one of the two or both. Many have been destroyed because of sexual problems. Make sure that you do not defraud one another in this. It is important. It is an important matter. Because then you are throwing your spouse in the hands of the enemy. You're throwing the spouse to the wolves. See, it is not written in here for nothing. God never warns us for no reason. He never warns nobody for nothing. He knows what he is talking about, and we should listen to him. Now, that might bring several questions. What is the normal frequency of sexual intercourse? The Bible is silent about it. The Bible is not telling us about frequency. It does not give an exact amount. What is normal to one may be abnormal to another. But the main thing here is not to cut the other one off. That is the intent. That's what the principle for married life is focusing. Not to cut the other one off. Remember that we are to meet the needs of the other one. Now, do not believe that you have to get it while you're young. Otherwise, it disappears, and some people, they go nuts thinking on those things. It's not true. It will last longer than you think. We are wonderfully made by God. Sex is an issue that you can pray about. People would not dare mentioning that to God. Hey, he created it. He knows what it is. So you can pray about it. You can ask God to help you with it. To help you meet the needs of the other one. That you are having a hard time. You may have a hard time to meet the needs of the other one. But don't be afraid to come to God with it and say, Lord, help me in this thing. And God will help you, I guarantee you. You can even pray while you're doing it. There's nothing wrong. You can pray, the Lord will help. Another question, who should initiate sexual intercourse? Who should go first? Who's on first? One on second? Who should go first? This time it is not the responsibility of the husband. We said the husband is a leader in the house. He is a spiritual leader. He is not a sexual leader. It does not say. He can be, but it does not have to be. It can be anyone, either one. Whoever has those needs to be met. Because we just read that the control is in the hands of the one who has the needs. That's the way that God designed it. So you go first. You don't count. It's always me who's starting. Don't worry about it. Don't make big fights over this. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. The Bible says that the body belongs to you. So the body of the other person belongs to you. Go for it. I'm never going to get out of here. Okay, now what is okay to do sexually and what is not okay to do sexually according to the Bible? Okay, let's turn to Hebrew chapter 13. We learn a lot from the Jewish people. Hebrew chapters 13 verse 4 says, "The marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge." So he says here that the bed is undefiled. What does it mean? It means that you can do anything you want. There are no restrictions whatsoever in the privacy of your room, of your bed. The only restriction would be if you're too out of shape to twist or bend. But other than that, there are no restrictions. How did I get this? Another thing. I told you it was not going to be long. Cannot be. Sex is not dirty. Some people have a hard time with this. And some people have to make some thinking adjustments because they were brought up with weird ideas. Now, if your spouse is like that, you need to be patient. You need to be open-minded because it is the way that he or she was brought up. But the Bible is clear that sex is not dirty. We have to respect the other person's difficulties. To some person, it may be okay to do anything. To some others, it may not be. And we need to respect those things. You cannot push your way around just because you're the head of household. We said that Philip put it real nice. We are equal. And just because her bodies belong to you and his body belongs to her, whoever's got the control, you do not have the control ever to hurt or to damage, or to do something bad to the other one, even though you have the control. God would never give the control to hurt somebody else, mind, body, or anything. So just because you have the control, you don't take it and run and put the other one under heavy condemnation. You're supposed to do it. And no. That's not what God intended when He put us two together. Remember, we said it was for pleasure. for communication. When it's a pain, it's no longer one of the purposes of sexual relations. For some people, it's okay to do it any time of the month. To some other people, it is not. A few days, they would not, and you should respect that also. You do not force just because you have the control. Respect that difficulty that they have. Some other people, they have a hard time. There was a couple in California. They have a hard time with the lights on. One guy would not, the lights on, forget it, forget it. And he said one time, we cracked up. He could not. We have to respect those things. Because it is an important issue in your marriage. It can make you closer, better, or it can break you apart and build big walls. Then all you do, you live a life of fantasies. And that's lusting. And that's a sin. Jesus said it's as bad as to commit the very act of adultery. So you cannot do those things. Respect the difficulties that they have. And again, communication. Level one, total openness. Share with those things with one another. Try to be flexible and open-minded. You ladies, if he likes you to wear some little sexy thing and you don't mind, go for it. Try them. The bed is undefiled. There is nothing gross. There is nothing out of line. Otherwise, it would be specified. But God gave us the carte blanche over there. The bed is undefiled. So the Bible says to enjoy it, to have fun with it, and to be open with one another, share any hang-ups or share your difficulties. And also share what you like or what would turn you on. It works both ways. When you share, you share. Try to please one another. Meet the needs of the other one. One word of caution. Try not to rely on artificial or carnal things for pleasures. For instance, don't rely on booze or on dope to really get you high and get you to do things. Don't rely on those things. Don't rely on dirty magazines. Don't rely on X-rated videos or movies to get you going. You're gonna get hooked on those things. And you're going to have a hard time. These are unnatural things. And you don't want any unnatural thing. What you have is enough. The two of you is enough. You will end up in big trouble because not only you will always need those things, but you will need a little bit more. You will need, if it's booze, a little bit more. If it's dope, you're going to need a little bit more. If it's those magazines, they're going to have to be dirtier and dirtier. Same thing with the movies. So then you get caught into something that you don't want to be in. They will really get you hooked, and you will be dependent on those things, and then without them, you're finished. You're no good. Be very careful of those things. Now other people question, what about masturbation? Masturbation is a sin when it is taking the place of the partner. There's nothing wrong if it is incorporated in your relations. The bed, again, is undefiled. But outside of the relations, to satisfy yourself without the other is wrong. It's a sin. There are also other requirements in sexual intercourse. We said earlier that it is an all-day affair. The mind has a lot to do with it. How you treat one another during the day, how you talk to one another during the day will affect it. How you treat each other during the day. Another thing that will affect it is cleanliness. Some people stink and could care less. I don't know. Don't expect to be dirty, stinky, smelly, and turn the other one on. You are just going to turn him or her off. No one wants to make love to a pig. You laugh, but there are women or men who could care less about those things and wonder, men, we sure don't do it often. Not more often than you wash. And those things are important. Hygiene is very, very important. And remember, there is no excuse for it. There is no excuse for a person not to wash. There's no excuse. She's dying away. Make sure we don't put this tape in the library. But anyway, in closing, sex is God's creation. It is good. It is not bad. It is not dirty. The Bible says to enjoy it, to be happy, and we read that, to rejoice with the wife of your youth and let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be intoxicated with her love. It is part of the marriage. We are to meet each other's needs. They are needs that were created by God. And that's why we were given a spouse. To really complete one another, to be one unit to God. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that if there is anyone here with any sexual problems or hang-ups that they were dragging for years, I pray, Lord, that after going over these verses, that they would realize that you have no restriction put on them. That you do not consider sex as dirty. It is your creation. It is good. And Father, we pray that we would learn from your word the purposes of sexual activities, procreation and communication and pleasure and release. All of those things are part of your creation. And Father, we thank you for it. Again, we pray that if we have any problem, that you would help us to be open with one another, and help us to really communicate on level number one at all time concerning any issues. Thank you, Father, for this time. I lift all the couples to you. I pray, Lord, that you would pour your Spirit upon each and every one of them, that you would fill them with your Spirit, that you would renew, that you would heal, and that you would restore those relationships, those that were shaken, those that were cracking, and that you would tonight heal and restore those relationships. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.